This is Due by Friday, the weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, watch The Bachelorette.
All right, guys, I had my Nazi artifacts, and I'm pretty sure I left them in the room behind the bookcase. Have you guys seen them? I seem to have misplaced my Nazi artifacts.
I found a Hitler head and some head calipers. Are those yours?
Silver wanna, Hitler head.
What was that? Do you want to tell us that story?
Oh, geez, let me find it.
That was very on brand for Due by Friday.
Basically, Argentina. Somebody, I guess, looked behind a wall, found a secret door. They got their magic user to find a hidden panel, and they went in. And there's just a ton of stolen, totally badass Nazi artifacts that have been found in Argentina. Like, no, these are nice artifacts.
Oh, top-notch Nazi.
There's like a Moscow mule mug with a swastika. It's really not good.
Were they in their original packaging? Because the resale value is very high.
So...
Are those harmonicas?
Yes, to teach racial purity.
Well, the Nazis called it the Jew harp.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the harmonica is just an instrument that whatever racial group you're not a fan of, you can call it that harp.
the Polish trumpet. Harp.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Oh, wait, what are you? I told you, son, do not play that Turk harp.
Would you guys please introduce our guest?
I would be my privilege and my honor. So this week's challenge, we'll get right into it. I have started watching The Bachelorette. The reason is this season on The Bachelorette is the first black, I don't know what you call them, the main character?
The first
black lead. So the woman who is the titular Bachelorette, she's African-American. It's the first time that's ever happened in like 30 seasons of the show. Our whole Cards Against Humanity writer's room has been sort of talking about it, and it sounds sort of lively and relevant to popular culture. So I, let's say, purchased the first season, and I've been watching it. And how would I describe my experience with it? My parents, when we moved into the house, their housewarming gift was they got us a big, like a huge, high-quality bird feeder. And we hung it outside on the back patio. And a situation developed wherein our house, it was very Alfred Hitchcock, the birds enveloped the house. There was like too much bird seed available and we had thousands of birds, and our cat had a very hard time with it because what she would do is sort of hide behind like a kitchen stool or something all day, holding stiff, like tensed, like ready to pounce but separated by glass, and then just drooling and her pupils dilated. That's how I watched The Bachelorette. It's just like I'm just like totally transfixed by it. So anyway, we've been gossiping about the Bachelorette in the writer's room, and lo and behold, I discover that Allie Barthwell, one of our writers in the Cars writer's room, is like extremely well known for writing the Vulture's Bachelorette and Bachelor recap column, and is like one of the most knowledgeable people about The Bachelor and Bachelorette that there is.
Oh, hello.
So we're joined by friend of the show, Allie B, this week, and she's going to explain. I know we have a lot of questions about this show.
So many questions.
Yes.
I had a little bit of a Batman v Superman where I started watching it last night, and no matter how long I watched it, there was still 50 minutes left.
Yeah.
And then they started posing the doll.
They used to do it where there's some seasons, especially of The Bachelor, where they would do two a week. So they would have it Monday and Tuesday for the first like four episodes. So there would be 3 hours of Bachelor a week. They do that with Bachelor in Paradise too. It's like with Bachelor in Paradise, which we can talk about because there's a huge scandal going on in like the Bachelorverse about in Bachelor Nation. It's called Bachelor Nation.
What is Bachelor in Paradise?
So Bachelor in Paradise is the spinoff that happens in between Bachelorette and Bachelor season. So there's it follows like the seasons of the sun and like of the moon, where typically the season, it goes like through the year. You start with a season of The Bachelor and then you do a season of The Bachelorette. And The Bachelorette is often someone who made it to the top three or four at least on The Bachelor. So that's where Rachel made it to the top three of Nick's season of The Bachelor. He was The Bachelor before, and he's also like a vital figure in the Bachelorverse. This was his fourth time on any Bachelor show.
Previously as like a contestant.
As a contestant. He'd been a contestant three times before and finally was The Bachelor. And then after The Bachelorette, they do Bachelor in Paradise, where they rent out a resort in Mexico and they bring like 20 girls, 20 guys, and slowly trickle them into this resort to watch them pair off and hook up. And they wake up and start drinking immediately during the day. And so there's a lot of like, you're in a relationship in air quotes with someone. And then someone else comes in and you're like, oh, they're hotter. I'm going to go fuck them. And you leave the person you're with to go get a new person. And so there was a big scandal with Bachelor in Paradise that we can talk about later because it is like it deserves its own time. But so Bachelor in Paradise, basically, it's like the real world of The Bachelor. To make it even more like weird and just like drinking all day.
Oh boy.
Well, one of the like one of the things I'm curious. I mean, Merlin, you watched one episode, the pilot.
Yeah.
And Alex, did you watch all four?
Yep.
I watched all four. I watched all four, and I'm in it now. Like there's no going back.
This I will say. So this is my third Bachelorette. I've seen three Bachelor. This is my third Bachelorette. I've seen three Bachelors and two Bachelor in Paradise. This is the best season so far.
I picked a good one.
This is the best season so far that I've ever seen.
The most striking thing to me about it, and I would say sort of the hook of like where I'm getting enjoyment from it, is so Rachel, who's the Bachelorette, she's a lawyer. She has like the best career out of anyone in the sort of cast. And she's like clearly the smartest, funniest, and most human of all of the people. And all these men are just sort of like, they're all just sort of idiots. And like, I guess they all get their one-on-one dates and then they sort of like humanize them a little bit. So like, who is the guy that sort of like cute younger guy?
Dean.
Dean was like, okay, by the end of that date, I was like, okay. But like, and it's so like manufactured. Like, he's like, you're the first person I've ever told about my tragic backstory.
Like, apparently that's true, because he was like on Twitter and on Instagram being like, I never really talked about this. And Dean is very young. He's 25. The Bachelorette is 31, and I think she's about to turn 32. Like, they're talking about it. And his backstory is his mother died tragically of cancer after she had gone into remission. The cancer came back and she died when he was 14 or 15, and he'd never talked about it to anyone. But I mean, that's like a legit sob story. Sometimes they have sob stories on the show that are like, that's not sad. Like, nothing bad. They've had sob stories on this season that are genuinely like, oh, that is a horrible thing to happen to a person. I am so happy that you put your life back together, because I would just lie down in a ball. But sometimes they're just like...
Well, Lee's thing... Lee, by the way, is truly awful.
Which,
again,
He needs his own discussion.
He's a snake in the grass.
His own discussion. Well, have we all seen his tweets?
No. Oh, yes. Shit. So, Merlin, have you seen Lee's tweets?
Is Lee the country music guy?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Have you seen
He's got like a full Macklemore on top. Kind of
yeah, thing. Yeah. Okay. It's a very big Macklemore.
What do I need to know? First of all, thank you. I am an empty vessel, and I'm already.
You haven't gotten to know Lee yet, but I'm gonna come out and say it. I don't think he's there for the right reasons.
Oh, you think so?
I don't think he's there for the right reasons.
So the fans, like Bachelor Nation, is huge. This like huge rabid fan base, in like the most positive sense of that word. But they went and found Lee's tweets. And Lee, his Twitter is full of racist, sexist, Islamophobic, homophobic, everything you could be. And he had a tweet that was like, I've never seen a pretty feminist. He had a tweet where he was like, the only difference between the KKK and Black Lives Matter is that the Klan is smart enough to show shame and cover their faces. So he's like just an insane, horrible racist. Like, that is the definition of a racist. And it has come out that he was contacted by producers to audition for the show.
Well,
like he didn't.
You introduced me to a new thought technology about The Bachelor in this week's recap, which was so fucking funny. The recap, honestly, that's the other thing that I recommend if you're on the fence of like, do I watch The Bachelor or not? Honestly, don't watch it. It's not very good. But if you do, one of the main pleasures is reading Ali's recaps. They're so sharp. They're like, are right to the bone. They're so fun to read. They're so like, the writing is like so lively and
thank
funny.
You.
They're truly delightful. One of the thought technologies that you introduced me to is that your theory is that the producers sort of interfered and played their hand and asked Rachel to keep Lee around because he's sort of creating drama. And
do you think there's any other contestants that might have made it through the first cut that way?
I mean,
I'm thinking of two syllables that fit on a shirt.
Oh yes. Well, so the tea with Waboom and Blake.
Oh my God!
I'm glad you said it.
Both of them were on another reality show together. And
wait, that was their backstory
So the thing about this show is there's a lot of people that just sort of like cycle around these reality shows trying to like make it. In JoJo's season, she was the last Bachelorette. The guy that she ended up picking. Everyone was saying that he just wanted to be on The Bachelorette because he wanted to be an ESPN announcer. And he was going on the show to, like, get his image and profile out there. And he, ironically, is Aaron Rodgers' brother, the quarterback. But Aaron Rodgers is estranged from his family because his family is, like, very conservative Christian. And Aaron Rodgers married Olivia Munn, who is not. Mm. And so his family, like, cut him off.
I don't know any of these names, but I'm sure it's important.
But so
Olivia Munn is the smart woman who everyone told to shut up on the newsroom constantly.
All of the women.
Sorry.
She was on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
She was on the newsroom.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But so he now, after being on the show, he was just like a failed pro athlete. Like he'd been on three teams as a quarterback in 4 years, which is that's horrible. That should not happen. If you're any good, and he landed being a commentator on the SEC network, so like a college football conference network. So it worked. Yeah, all these people just bounce around, and like the Bachelor is like the big one. The Bachelor is the big one at the end.
Right.
Like, and so Luke and Waboom and Blake were on another show together.
A Bachelor World
It was called Exile, and it was like you and your ex, if you have unfinished business, go on this resort with all these other people and their exes and just like figure it out. And so the tea is that Lucas banged a bunch of people's exes, including Blake's. And so Waboom banged a bunch of people's exes, including Blake, so that's why they have beef. And now Blake lives with Waboom's ex-girlfriend and is just
It's incredible that he gets laid in general.
Yes.
I think I'm having another stroke. I didn't even know that network existed. There are all these things. There's this other world.
It is true.
How many shows can exist on television?
And so, like, The Bachelor, all the contestants and the former Bachelors and stuff, they all hang out. They become each other's social networks.
That was shocking to me.
That is, follow some of these. There's a few, like, people from past seasons that I really like and think they're, you know, like, fun and sort of normal. And I follow them on Instagram, and the only people they hang out with is other Bachelor people. And, like, they all live in L.A. They all live in New York. There's a few of them here in Chicago. There's a few of them in Chicago, but they all hang out together. And
they're
like
Apple fans.
Now that I know that there's this like pipeline of like Bachelorette to, you know, C or D level fame, you know, like being like a college sports announcer or whatever. You know, one of our big projects is we're trying to get the listenership of Dubai Friday up. We're competing with the anti-Semitic podcast, The Daily Showa, and they beat us in the numbers. We really want to be the nation's number one anti-Semitism podcast.
Yes.
And it's aspirational. You know,
yes.
You could have dreams.
Your reach should exceed your grasp.
Exactly. Now, I'm thinking, here's the play.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of us needs to go
I'm so nervous right now.
One of us needs to audition and go on the next season of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
I tried. My older brother was almost on, not The Bachelor or Bachelorette, but another show. And then I was like, well, now we know that you could get cast. You should go on The Bachelorette. Because we knew that it was going to be Rachel. And I was like, you should go on it. But he ultimately did not audition. But so what other... bachelor questions, well, thoughts.
I was
do
talking
we have?
Well, cuz I it's really exciting to have this like a black woman be the main focus. She's so canonically she is called the lead.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like
you not say the lead or the just lead. The bachelorette.
The bachelorette. I just, I'm learning so many things. And I saw some people being like, "Well, why aren't there any like gay or queer bachelors and bachelorettes?" And then I'm like, wait, isn't that just a bunch of people in a room who'd want to fuck each other? Like,
the drama. The
how
drama.
Does that work?
Well, there was a shot at love with Tila Tequila, and she's famously bisexual. So there were men and women on her show, and that was on MTV, I think. And then there was one on Logo called Prince Charming, where it was a gay man as the lead and a bunch of men. And I think like some of the thing was like some of the guys that were contestants were also like, oh, but I like this other contestant. Like, why? What am I doing?
The drama would be unsustainable. Yeah. We can't possibly edit it into 2 hours.
And then there was so there are bachelor shows in other countries. Like there's Bachelor Australia and Canada and like Brazil and Germany, I think, has one. But on Bachelor Australia, there were two women who were contestants. And they were going through this process and realized, oh no, we love each other.
Oh,
we are now, we're gay. And they've now gotten married. And
wow.
So like it has spawned a marriage from two female contestants that have fallen in love, which is like.
Nothing would make me happier than if two of the men on this season realized that they were gay and got married and left the show together.
I'd like to see Blake and Lucas pair off a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe little Adam can watch.
Let me see. I have so many questions.
Oh my God.
Let's start here. Who do we like? Who do we not like
oh
in terms
God.
Of? So I oh actually, God. I like Kenny, although he's getting a little obnoxious.
Oh, I love Kenny.
You do? He was a little. He was a little bumpy.
All right,
episode,
hold on. Before Merlin actually dies,
I'll be all right. No, this is good.
You just made it through one episode, right?
Three sittings. Yeah.
Three.
You can't do that. You can't. You have to like.
I made it 20 minutes in, and then I ended up watching a Stephen Sondheim documentary that you guys are going to have to watch. I'm gonna stay out of this one. I will say that this is one of the most excruciating things I've ever experienced in my adult life. But there were certain points where I turned a corner a little bit when they started doing French subtitles for Little Adam. Okay.
Oh yes,
that
the
was
mannequin
that was.
That
why
he
is he
with
still
him?
There?
There was a point. There was a point in the second act where I started to accept. I have, you know, in the Doctor Who community and elsewhere, they call it headcanon. You come up with your idea about why this works the way it does, and I realized that she's in a living nightmare, where mm-hmm. she's the smartest person
yep.
that's involved with any part of this stack of entertainment at any level, and for some reason she's tribute. She's tribute. She will go and fight in the Hunger Games for somebody. She's there. And I've accepted that. All I need to know to enjoy this show is that she's the smartest and most game for anything person, good sport on this entire terrible, terrible show. And now I can enjoy it as a comedy, a tragic comedy.
Yeah.
And then by the end, you know, I was. But, you know, yeah, I'm looking.
So I said this the other day when we were talking about it for the first time. And I was like, this show is tragic because she's so much smarter and higher quality.
Why
than all
of the
men there?
Why is she and there? These people are just, it's haircuts with the want a baby machine. It's
well,
weird.
Allie's response that was very funny and very depressing was.
I said that this is the group of men that is the most accomplished, the most interesting, the most naturally funny that I have seen in three seasons of The Bachelorette.
Oh, wow. Jesus Christ.
And well, so the cream
if
of
you
the crop.
Look at, so I would say go find, there's like a meme of the men from JoJo's season. So JoJo is the last Bachelorette. She was like 25 and her type was like, I want a failed pro athlete with a Macklemore haircut.
Mm.
And so there, and you tell the producers, like, this is my type. This is kind of what I'm looking for. And they go out and find people that fit your type. And so there were legit, her final five were five guys that looked identical. Like they were just
I'm looking
five.
At this page right now, and it looks like a police, like they started with a police sketch of somebody who buys roofies and powders.
Yeah.
Just give me some square ass jaws, men who don't wear shirts with collars, and preferably someone with a dumb
like,
penguin.
Just, just five white guys in a Henley tee and like a waffle knit Henley tee.
Shaka bra.
And so like in other you know, someone, so JoJo, she was like, I want a guy who's fit. So they all were like aspiring personal trainers and like they people that like sell fitness equipment. And on Rachel's season, she's a lawyer. She's like her father is a federal judge. Like she's from a real family who does real, and she does real things. And I have friends that are in Dallas that are like in that are lawyers. They're like, oh no, she's a real person. Like people know who she is. So the guys on this season, there are lawyers, there are doctors.
But Diggy, poor Diggy.
Poor Diggy.
Aww. What happened?
Diggy was the cutest.
You got a chiropractor, you got a business owner, you got an aspiring drummer. It's a pretty diverse group.
Tickle Monster?
You got a Tickle Monster? Oh. Yeah.
The Tickle Monster is a doctor. He's a pediatrician.
Oh, he tickles babies?
And but it's like it's never come up that like, oh no, dude, just say you're a doctor. Like that's way better.
That's a do you get to choose your own chiron?
I think sometimes they give you a chiron.
What would be your what would be yours if you went on The Bachelor?
It would just be like make 'em ups. Like does comedy make 'em ups? Like it would be like a full phrase. Like it wouldn't even be like a job.
Mine would be like novelty card game design. Like it would not look good.
Yeah. But like
Merlin,
past,
yours would be really horrific.
Past
it, would, it would just say it would just say disappointment in lowercase.
Internet personality.
Cunning linguist.
Past chirons have included chicken enthusiast. That was one on The Bachelor. Bachelor super fan. That was someone on I think it was JoJo's season. Wow. He was a like that was his thing. And then there was one season, it was just twin. There was a set of twins on the show on Ben's season, and their chiron just said twin.
Oh, no.
Both of them. It just twin.
All right. Ellie, my question for you, which I think you've answered this then, do the premieres generally go like this? Because I thought this was the most boring thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It was creepy. It was weird. I hated it. They were all like, oh God, she's like, they're looking at this piece of meat and then people are tickling her. And so this is like the high bar. This is a good one.
These, I mean, like truly, truly, these men are like way more naturally funny.
Ah!
And because honestly, like I was watching it and I've like, had this debate already, but because she's black and they have so many men of color and specifically so many black men, and
more, this is more than usual.
This is, I mean, okay. So I wrote a whole piece about of the Bachelor up until this point. So every season starts with 30 contestants, and say Bachelor and Bachelorette. There have been 43 black contestants out of 30 seasons, each starting with 30 contestants.
So like 1.2 black people per season.
Right.
Yeah.
And of those 43 black people, 59% of them don't make it past week two.
Oh, my God.
So this show, like, truly is notoriously white. It is, like, the whitest show.
That is super interesting because I barely watched this because it was so painful. But the parts I did get when they would do the talking heads is the black guys were the funniest and most emotionally interesting by and large. At least in the way they're portrayed, that was what came across to me.
And I've talked about this, is there's just a natural, like, oral tradition of roasting, bragging, cracking jokes, like this kind of straightforward commentary.
Like doing the dozens, right?
Playing the dozens, yeah. That exists in black communities. So like these men are just, they're already made for being on television because they're constantly ready to like quip and like crack a joke. And so like truly when it's just like, seriously, it's so painful when it's just like 30 white guys. Because they're all just like, we like Rachel, we like JoJo.
Well, also like,
JoJo's beautiful.
I think when you think about like, what is it to be like an interesting person? Like when I meet someone, I'm like, this person is interesting. It's like they have some, you know, interestingness is tied up with like, in some ways, like the struggles that you've overcame in your life or the ways that things, you know, the bad things that have happened to you or the things you've overcome, the challenges you've faced. And I think like there is this type of contestant who's like, they're like these like, you know, whatever, like 28-year-old like soft boys, and they're like parents paid for them to go to college, and then they do like they're like professional bodybuilders, and they're on like a trust fund, and they have like a nice haircut, and they go on The Bachelorette, and like they've had no meaningful struggle. They have no life experience. They have no accomplishments. And, like, of course they're not going to be interesting. Like, the most interesting thing about them is, like, whatever banal hobby or travel they've done. But, like, Kenny, to use Kenny as an example, like, this is a guy who's had, like, a life. Like, he was, like, a fucking Chippendales dancer. Yeah. He has a daughter. Like,
he's a professional wrestler. Yeah, like, he has an interesting career.
Interesting. Like,
he has an interesting career that requires him to be engaging and entertaining on a microphone. Like, there's no wrestler that gets away with not being interesting on the mic. Like, that is the kiss of death. But so you have all these guys that are, like, interesting or have, like, interesting careers or just got a little something going, or when they get in a group, they can kind of, like, and one thing that you'll note that you notice is, like, the people that are very popular on their season with the other contestants, like, end up being thought of really well. They will be given other opportunities, and, like, they go on, sometimes they go on to be the next Bachelor, Bachelorette, or end up on Paradise. And so Rachel is someone that from her season, every single person loved her. Like, all the other contestants loved her, and she hangs out with, like, all of them, and they're all like, we're genuinely really happy for her this opportunity.
I'd love to see a Kenny season.
I would love Kenny as the Bachelor.
It seems like it's important to get somebody you can pull for. I mean, I could see doing a twist where it's somebody awful, but for this particular kind of thing to work, and I don't know if it works, but when it works, it's because you're pulling for that person. And, you know, and it reminds me a little bit of, like, on Parks and Rec, the way that Leslie's relationship with Anne, and how on the one hand she reveres her above all else, but she's always like, oh, Anne, you beautiful tropical fish. You're not used to anyone ever. You're so used to being beautiful that, and it's sort of like some of these guys, it seems like they have gotten by for a lot of their life with some combination of, like, seduction community tips and tricks.
Yes.
And like having the right part in their hair. I mean, I don't want to be dismissive. I'm sure these guys are good people. But when you see all of I'm trying to be generous. I made a doll. But when you get them all in one place, and then you have to do, like, you know, it's like Twitter, where, like, everybody makes the same joke over and over, and, like, nobody seems to realize they're all making the same joke. And the idea of going up to going, I just want to say you look really beautiful tonight. It's like, oh, I'm glad you really thought that one through. She's probably never heard that one before.
Well, if you're the only guy in the bar who's wearing a blue hat to attract the attention of the women,
they call it peacock. Max.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. If you're the only one who's peacocking, you stand out. But if you're in a house of 30 guys and they've all brought, you know, one guy's got his fucking sandcastle kit, yeah, and another guy's got his, like,
he's got his megaphone,
like, huge hammer and block of ice, and they all have some sort of, like, D-level, like, novelty pun that they're gonna do. Like, it's like, you know, it's just obnoxious.
And some of that is the guys, and some of that is, like, the producers are just like, hey, you need a thing.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you got to have a thing. Like, you got to bring a prop or a cut. And I'm sure they have, like, a warehouse where they're just like, oh, what do you want? And it's just like a wall of animal costumes.
I built these walnut cabinets for you because you're going to need them to hold all of my respect for you.
I whittled a creepy wooden board that said, what was it, enchanting with, like, my grandfather's knife. Like, I was like, he's going to murder her.
And no matter what they do, she finds a way. She loves everything. I love that. Oh, I love it. I love full circle stories. I love a good smile. Oh, I love where your headspace is. I love your walnut cabinet.
Like, the thing of being the Bachelorette, which probably speaks to, like, the experience of dating as a woman, of, like, you gotta just be like, sure. Like, sure. And, like, there's no room
to be... You can tickle me. This is normal.
Yeah, like, there's no room there's no room to be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Jesus Christ.
Like, there's just no room for that. And it's, like, you have a doll on the lead to, like, the audience has to like her. And you kind of... It's that thing of, like, oh, I would go have brunch with her. Like, she seems cool and fun. And so, and I think on the... I mean, on The Bachelor, they put up with it, but they can have a little bit more of, like, eye roll space of, like, okay, this one's a wild one. But on The Bachelorette, they're always sort of very, like, I don't know, he's fun. Like, and I wonder, that's maybe the subject of my next article of, like, the gameness breakdown.
Isn't there that thing of, like, men are scared that women are going to laugh at them and women are scared that men are going to kill them?
Yes, yeah. So it's, like, I'm sure that, like, The Bachelorette and women in general are just more equipped to be like, okay.
Yeah, you whittled me a creepy board with your knife that you're showing
thank
me.
You.
Yeah, thank you. That's really delightful. Thank
so
you.
Merlin doesn't know what we're talking about right now.
Oh, yeah.
Should we get into the Lee discussion? Is that so?
Yes.
Well, I have... Okay, but well, yeah, what other, let's gossip about Lee.
Max seems to have like a laundry list of like things he needs.
I really have burning questions
for him.
All right, let me ask my one burning.
He also has a six page essay about late stage capitalism. He'll be sharing. Yeah.
We can continue to pepper in the questions. That's fine.
Okay. Here's this is the question I'm dying to know. Do people fuck on The Bachelor?
Mm. Yes.
They do. That is
so
creepy.
So the official line of The Bachelor is you get to the top three, the final three, mm-hmm. and you have the fantasy suite date. And usually that's the name of it. The fantasy suite.
Do you get a post-coital rose?
There's language that you guys just have to accept, like for me to talk about this.
So you make it
to the top four, and you go on a hometown date where Rachel goes and meets your family. So you show her around your hometown, and like, this is my high school, and the marching band like plays a song or whatever the fuck. And then someone goes home after the home, and you meet their parents. And usually, so if it's a man going on the hometown dates, he asks the girl's father. If it's a bachelor, he asks the girl's father, do I have your permission to propose? And there's always some tension because every now and then a father is like, you're dating two other women. No, what are you talking about? So you have the hometown date. Someone gets eliminated. Then you have the top three and you fly off to some exotic locale. Recently, they have been in like cold weather places, which I don't think is fun. Like the last season, they were in like Norway or something. Like no one is like, I can't wait to fuck in Norway. But usually it's like Thailand or Fiji, like Cancun. Like they're where you're in like your date. So you have a full day together. You like go on a catamaran and like drink champagne and like pet a dolphin. And then... And then you go to dinner.
Some country music singer who I've never heard of. And they're like, oh my God, it's John Christensen.
Yeah, like some random. So then so you have this full date. You go to dinner and you have the I just feel so close to you. And you get a note that just says, if you wish to continue the date, use this key for your fantasy suite. And that you ask.
They get a fuck card.
They get a fuck card and they ask. And the lead will ask the contestant and be like, do you want to go spend the night? Ooh. And they usually most of the time say yes. And it is also, so, and then you get a hotel room. It's like a really nice suite, or sometimes it like, depending on where you are, it might be like a cabin, or like they had one on The Bachelor recently where it was like, it had a huge skylight. So you could see like the Aurora Borealis because they were in Norway. And it was like a cozy thing. And then you have the night together. And that is the first time that there's no cameras, no microphones, no producers. So some of the contestants are like, that's the first time we ever can really talk to each other, where we're not like making sure to cheat out for the cameras. And people fuck. Like people have, that's when you have, that's the like socially acceptable time to have sex.
And wait, the socially acceptable? So is there pre-fantasy sex?
So... Oh, it is. There's lots of controversy in the Bachelor universe of the pre-fantasy suite sex. And so the one that happened when I covered it, it was Caitlyn's season. She was two Bachelorettes ago. So not the one before, the one before that. And Nick, who is the most recent Bachelor, like I said, he is his own crazy figure, which if you want, I can go into. But he joined her season late. Because the story was he met her somewhere, but they had already started filming. And since he'd already been on The Bachelor, they were like, oh, of course you can come. So he joined her season. They went on a one-on-one date. They were in Dublin. And all of her dates were just like, let's go whiskey tasting. She was awesome. And so they were making out in the street, like after the date, like they were walking back to get him to go back to where the guys stay. They stay separate from The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. And she was like, I'm having a really great time. I'm really enjoying this. I don't want you to go home. And he was like, I don't want to go home either. She goes, well, why don't we go back to my hotel room? So they went back to her hotel room. They had sex. He left in the morning. And at that point, there were maybe eight guys left, six or eight. So it was like way before when you – and so she was just sort of like, I probably shouldn't have done that. Like that's going to make more trouble than is going to be fixed. And she was like, I just won't say anything. Like, they showed her kind of talking to a producer, being like, I just won't say anything. And then he immediately went back to the guys and was like, we spent the night together. It was amazing. Like, we just had this connection. And there were a couple guys on that season that were like, this is bullshit. Because he has spent the night with her. He's like, had sex with her, spent the night. They had a whole night away from cameras that we don't have. Like, he has this insane advantage. Like, how can we even...
That's the ultimate act of injustice to one of those guys. Why didn't I get a chance to fuck her?
Yeah. Right.
I could have ruined that woman.
They had an organic, fun time together.
But it's objectively speaking.
Like, in the yeah. competition of the show, like, time is your greatest, mm-hmm. like, benefit.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, if you see these guys being like, I didn't get the group date, I didn't get the one-on-one date, and there's weeks where there's lots of guys where he's like, guys be like, I didn't get a date this week. I didn't see her at all this week, except mm-hmm. for this cocktail party. This is my one chance to like make an impression, which is where you get like, oh, I'm going to build her a sandcastle or give her a weird gift or whatever, or sing her a song. And so it was like, yeah, you're right. Like this objective, like in the rules of the game, in the way that this show works, he had an unbelievable advantage.
But it's objectively, it is... Okay, so one of the amazing things about my experience of watching the show is, like, I was so skeptical. Like, I don't like anything.
Yeah.
And I was so skeptical watching this. But it was incredible. Within 20 seconds of starting it, I was just, like, into it. Like, they just throw you into it. And I was like, this is amazing. If they gave me 10 more seconds to think about the premise of this show, I would turn it off.
And they also, because the way that the show is structured of, and just to go back to the sex thing real quick, there have been people that have come out from the other seasons and been like, oh, we had sex, or we, like, I gave him head, or we fooled around, or whatever. Like, that exists. Like, that, they're like, oh, yeah, but we just snuck away, or we were on a one-on-one, and we just, you know, in the car ride back to the hotel, like, whatever. So it's come out that people do have sex, but, like, with Caitlin, it was, like, the first time that it was really like, oh, no, this was very public, and it was very clear, like, what happened. But so about how the show sort of hooks you in, the reason now that they bring the Bachelor, the Bachelorette from the previous season is it's like you have an instant hook and they assume that you've watched everything and they assume that you know that person's story. And it's like you're watching your friend who got their heart broken get back out there. Like that's the vibe that they kind of want. And so when they pick the Bachelor, Bachelorette from someone who went pretty far, they assume like, this person was a fan favorite. The other cast members liked them. They didn't have a lot of drama. They look at your Twitter and Instagram followers, and sometimes that makes or break the decision. Or they'll tell someone, they're like, we're thinking you might be the next Bachelor, Bachelorette. Can you get your followers up? Like, can you start having a social media presence so we can have, like, a built-in fan base for you? And they assume that everyone watches everything. So they're like, oh, you're just you've bought in. Like, if you're tuning in, if you're tuning in, you're tuning in because you've already bought it. You've already bought in.
Okay.
But to the premise of the show that like everyone is here of like, oh, are you here for the right reason to like because you love Rachel and Rachel's like looking for her true match or whatever. Like it's so opposed to the like artifice of the show. And so it's like to me, it's like if they have a one-on-one date and it goes well and they sneak off and they fuck, I'm like way more at peace with that because that's how people are than this artifice at the end where it's like the three final guys get to fuck or whatever in a way where the show sets it up and has cameras on it. It's like so there. It's like very well touching the line of like prostitution to me.
The premise of the show, the thing they want you to buy in is that you are watching a fairy tale. You are watching like the triumph of true love over all the, you know, you have your lead. They're like, once upon a time, there was Rachel, and she got her heart broken, and now she's going to go find true love. And so they want it to be very – I mean, ABC's owned by Disney. They want it to be very, like, clean, and the sex is all innuendo. It's not in your face. Like, there was a scandal a few years ago – or, like, a long time ago where two people snuck off, like, the bachelor and a girl snuck off and into the ocean, and but they still had mics on. And ABC, they played the noises, and it was like slurping noises, and they sold it like she was blowing him like on the beach, so that was like too dirty for the show, and people were like, this was too dirty and weird.
But the coyness, the wink and the nod, and the adolescence around sex, it makes it so much dirtier and naughtier than if you were just how people date in their 20s now, mm-hmm. which is they go on apps and fuck each other.
And I mean, Rachel's in her 30s.
Right.
Like the guys, she's 31. I think the oldest guy is like 37.
But the show creates the taboo and then transgresses. And that's they create a boundary and then they cross
you
it.
You have to earn it.
Right.
Like you have to, it's not like a taboo, but you have to earn it. Like you have to prove yourself worthy of getting to the fantasy suite date. And there's also like this conversation of like, I couldn't take her to the fantasy suite in my mind I had these doubts. Like, it presents it, like, very, like, sometimes purely of, like, you know, I have the four women that I can pick who I know the next date is a fantasy suite. There's one woman I'm not entirely sure about, or I think if I had sex with her and we didn't go and I didn't pick her in the end, it would have been a thing. And I remember on Ben's season, he was the bachelorette before Nick. He took someone to the fantasy suite and then didn't pick her for the final two. And she was like, then why did you have sex with me? Like, if you knew you liked these other two women more, why did you have sex with me? Like, she's like, oh, so you just wanted to fuck. Like, you just wanted to have sex with me. And there have been bachelors have been accused of, like, keeping women around just so they can take them to the fantasy suite and, like, fuck them. So it's like, a very strange, like, dynamic.
There's something so evolutionary or like primal about this show and the popularity it enjoys in popular culture, and that it's like this like touchstone thing like sports where you can like get in an elevator and talk to someone about it, which is honestly for me, I'm actually really enjoying that aspect of following The Bachelor because I don't have anything to talk to people about. Like I don't watch sports or like – I don't know what the weather is. Like, I have, like, nothing. Like, so this is great, actually, to have, like, one accessible piece of pop culture. But, I do think there's, like, something a little weird of, like, you're basically watching, like, you know how some, so sexual selection makes species develop these, like, crazy, like, the baboons with the huge red asses.
Yeah.
And it's, like, or, like, peacocks with their huge feathers. It's, like, these things serve no evolutionary purpose except to demonstrate your fitness to your mate to reproduce. So there's extreme arbitrary evolutionary pressure put on these particular traits. And they don't like help the animal survive. It's just the thing that demonstrates that they have that they're like a fit animal in their environment. And there's so much of that that I see. I can like sort of read The Bachelor that way of just these guys. Like, who's the one guy who got all like amped up and was doing push-ups with Rachel on his back?
Oh,
like,
Josiah.
Josiah, yeah. Like, he gets like so like full of testosterone. He's just like he has like energy, and they're all just like sort of sexually like competing with each other in this really primal way. And that's why one of them was also like, bro, this is like life or death. I'm like, no, it's not. It's a reality show.
It could not be further from life or death.
But it does, I do think it taps into some like lizard part of your brain where it's like you need to compete with the other males to reproduce with the female or your life is a waste.
And I also think like you are so isolated. They don't have TV. They don't have magazines. They don't have books. Like you're sitting in a house, like in a mansion in Southern California all day thinking about like this person that you like, that you have a crush on, like, and you just sit there, like, imagine if like you like had a crush on someone and then someone put you in a room with no TV, no books, no magazine, no phone for like a week, and all you did was sit and think about your crush, and then they were like, and now you're gonna go on a date with them, you're gonna go ride in a hot air balloon. You would lose your fucking mind. Like, all I've been doing is sitting thinking.
Like a prisoner who gets furloughed for the day.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, fuck, and you just go rob a convenience store, and you're like, I don't know what happened. My mind went blank, and I looked up at cash and blood on my hands. And, like, that's what these, so, like, I imagine it must be, like, a maddening experience, because you're just sitting there, you're sitting waiting for the person you like to pick you. Like, that's literally, like, all you're doing, and you're watching like other guys get picked, and you're like, fuck, why can't I? And you're just like losing your mind. So then when you get to talk to her, you go crazy. Or if you notice someone, like, there's been people, obviously, it's like they just form hatred against other people. Like on that season where the guy had sex with the bachelorette, the guy she ended up picking in the end would not refer to him by name. Like he was so offended and like put off that this guy had done this.
Good Lord.
He would not refer. He's like, and he said in his interviews, he's like, I'm not referring to him, but I'm not calling him Nick. He's that guy or the other guy. Like, he would not
he's like
refer.
Like the Voldemort?
Yeah, he would not refer. But it's like, if you're just by yourself, like, all day around a bunch of fucking other idiots, and you're just talking about what you're going to do, like, you would go crazy and lose your mind.
When we did the writer's retreat in California, Josh found this place that was like a wilderness preserve, and they had a bunch of, like, African animals that they do conservation of, but it's in, like, Sonoma. It's in, like, yeah. You know, like, Northern California. And we went and did this, like, safari tour. And one of the funniest things I learned was they have these two white rhinos. And they're trying to, you know, it's very notoriously difficult to breed white rhinos in captivity. But they're trying. And one of the techniques that works is, so they have a male rhino and a female rhino. And they're both of reproductive age. And they've been living together for 6 years. And they've never had sex or had a baby. So the technique that they're trying to get the white rhino, the male, to want to breed is they got another more virile white rhino and put him in a pen like 20 feet away in a separate thing.
Right.
And apparently, like, the pheromones of the other male white rhino will drive the first white rhino, the male, insane. And he'll feel the pressure of, like, sexual competition. And
sounds like ninth grade.
But it is, right? That is, like men living in a dorm,
or
right?
Or it's like you fake a note from, like, your boyfriend at camp to make the guy that you like.
Yeah, false flag pheromone operation.
Yeah, like the thing, like, which is the thing. If you think I haven't been asked to write several of those notes because my handwriting is terrible, you would be wrong. Uh-huh. But I remember being in the bathroom at, like, a seventh grade dance writing a note from, like, Christy's fake boyfriend. That she would, like, parade around in front of the guy that she liked that just, like, wouldn't ask her out.
There is an element of people that they're still essentially animals.
Yeah.
And I do think there is some tendency. And also, the guys on The Bachelorette, I mean, let's be honest, they're more like they're more animalistic.
They have less
one difference between me and the contestants on The Bachelorette is I don't think they're, like, lying awake at night, like, upset about some philosophy problem.
Yeah.
Or they're despairing about a person can only read 6,000 books in their lifetime, and you have to, like, pick the 6,000 books that you read. But so they're all very instinctual people.
It's also part of it is, like, if I don't get picked, I go home.
Right. You're not,
like,
on TV anymore.
It's not just like, I don't get the girl I like. I have to go home. I have to pack all my bags and hug everybody goodbye and get in a van and go to the airport and go home. Like, you're put up. You get as much alcohol as you want all day, every day. You're going on trips. They got to meet Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, you get to go to, they'll probably go to, like, Maui or something. And it's like, I have to go. If I don't make her like me, I have to go home. Oh, of course I'm going to, like, give her a weird thing I whittled. Like, you're just doing you're doing anything because part of it is, like, I have to stay. I have to, like, earn my keep. I have to stay.
Well,
there's just some part of your brain that must go insane where you're, like, your testosterone is off the charts and you're just like, I have to sexually compete with these other men. Like, whatever dumb thing they do, if this guy whittles a board, I have to whittle a board that's twice as big.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But it's also, like, waiting for a table at a restaurant when you're, like, super hungry. Maybe it's hot outside and you're just, like, every second that ticks by, you feel more like you're losing your mind. It's just, in this case, you think that by whittling something, you'll get a table faster.
Right.
I have some questions about production.
Yes.
So you said they go out and ask people in advance, please build up your audience and your Instagram and stuff like that. And obviously everybody has been vetted. So how does somebody, let's say a creepy snake racist, get onto the show? Like, yeah.
Wow. So I would also say if this at all interests you, go watch the show Unreal. And so it is a drama on Lifetime, scripted drama that is based on The Bachelor. And, like, several of their story consultants and producers are people that worked on The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. So, like, the mechanics are accurate. Like, they obviously heighten up, like, what happens. Like, there's never been a Bachelor where someone, like, dies. But they have, you know, so they have all these things where, like, it's super heightened.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yes.
I only watched a couple, three episodes of that, but I loved it. And I think I recommended it to Max. I love that actress. How true...
The girl who's the showrunner?
The one who was away and came back?
Shiri Appleby? Shiri Appleby?
She's great.
Yeah,
so what I recall them portraying on that show is that you as a producer are sort of assigned a person. and then you will contribute to the storyline and how that all works. And I guess if I'm remembering correctly, there was this idea that if your person does well and earns more camera time, like that person does better, you do better. Is that true? Is that how that works? Do you have an incentive as a producer? I mean, first of all, are you sort of assigned a person or group of people?
So
and then do
I don't
you promote
have,
them?
I don't have a ton of knowledge of like exactly how it works. I've like listened to podcasts and interviews and watched Unreal and stuff like that. But you are assigned a group of people or a person that is your, like, you're in charge of them. Like, you are their advocate. It is your job to get them, to encourage them to get screen time and to get the interview and, like, get them to say what you want them to say. And, like, if people sometimes, like, if someone repeats, so if they're on Bachelor or Bachelorette and they go on Bachelor in Paradise, your producer might come with you to, like, your producer. Because it's like, you have trust in this person. We want to have you feel comfortable, so we're going to bring a person that you are close with. I don't know because on Unreal, they make it where it's like money. Like, it's just like straight up like financial incentive. So I don't know what the equivalent is on the Bachelor, Bachelorette, but like, you know, it's the same thing. Like, if your person goes home, you're out of work for the rest of the season. Like, you want to keep your person around so you can stay around and working, and people move up. You know, there's people where they start as like a producer, like assigned to a person, and then they end up like as a supervisor position if they like do well and stuff.
Wow.
So I assume there's incentive. And I mean, it's also like you want good drama for the show. You don't want a boring season. So like back to Lee, he did an interview before the show started, before people found out about his tweets, that he was approached by a producer on Facebook being like, we would love you on this season. So people do submit through casting calls and stuff like that, or you can have a friend can nominate you. But it also is like you can be approached by a producer to be on the show. And it's like, for me, my total, there's no way they don't know.
Oh,
that
yeah,
Lee
definitely.
Is a racist. There's no way they didn't know, because they do look at your Facebook and your Instagram and things like that and your Twitter. Like, so there's no way they didn't know. It just goes to show that like they thought someone being a racist is equivalent to someone being like a loose cannon or petty or jealous.
Yeah,
like
that's
that
what,
it would be that the drama is equivalent.
It like turned the tide for me in terms of like what makes bigot then Waboom guy. Like, are these the same level of like it what's like douchey and then what's abusive? Like,
and so there was
my skin crawl.
On the last season, JoJo season, there's got Chad, and he was like it was such a he was
what
the most Chad that like has ever Chad. And it was a big drama because he became like borderline physically violent against the other contestants. Mm-mm. And he knew how to turn it off around JoJo, and he had like a sob story so he could turn it off around her. But then the guys also I will say some of the guys like stuck their nose in it in the wrong way. And like, if you're ever spending all of your time complaining to the lead about someone else, like, you're not doing great. But so guys would go to JoJo and be like, hey, Chad is this asshole. He's yelling at everybody in the house. Like, we don't like him. And there was like a couple of moments where he, you know, shoved someone or tried to pick someone up. And it was this question started happening of people that watched the show and like intelligent people that were like commenting on the show and like feminists watching the show of like, if you have someone who's dangerous and like mm-hmm. could be physically violent, like, why are you putting him mm-hmm. why are you not just kicking him out? And eventually he did leave, but before he left, he came back to the house after he'd been told to leave and like tried to confront guys and be like, you're the reason I'm going home. It's like, mm-hmm. no, because you're an asshole. And then they put him on Paradise, and he did that. He like picked a woman. They're drunk, and there was another girl who was like her thing. She was kind of a party girl, and they were both drunk, kind of. They're very attractive. Like, Chad was an attractive guy, and they were making out, kind of, you know, heavy petting, and he picked her up and like shook her.
Oh,
and like, and everyone was like, oh no, he had like, and that was a moment where like everyone was like, he has to leave. Like, Lace was having fun, but then he just like, and like, he in his mind, he probably was like, I'm being you know, aggressively I'm being memorable. Playful. I'm being, or just that way of like, there are guys that like, I'm negging or whatever. He's like, oh, shut up. Come on. You're being such a bitch. Why don't you just like come back to my, or whatever. And like picked her up and moved her or shook her or something. And she was like, oh, I'm not having fun anymore. Like, I'm not, I don't want to, no. And the cast got together and was like, we want him to leave. Like, he made Lace feel unsafe. We want him to leave. And so there's these questions of like, why did he was violent on the season of The Bachelorette he was on. How did he end up on Paradise? Mm. Like, he was violent already, and you put him on a show where they have no rules. Like, Paradise is just like, go out into the surf and fuck. Like, how did he end up there?
Oh, man. Boy, why? Okay, why did Diggy go home? I liked him.
I don't know.
I liked him so much.
Diggy was
great. He was
great.
Like smart. He could keep cute. Up with her.
I don't know. There are one reading of the show that exists is it is like it is a romantic comedy. So like on the first night, the lead probably sees someone and they're like, oh, you're it. Like, you're the one. Or after their first one-on-one date or whatever. So very early in the process. And then it's like, we have to just get over all these other obstacles and all this weird hoops to jump through to end up with this person, to end up with the person that I saw the first night. So it's like
Who do you think that would be for Rachel? Is that the guy who speaks Spanish?
So I've read spoilers, so I don't want to spoil it if people know. Because there are places where they have people leak who goes home when mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But it's like, she has also said, she's like, I'm engaged. I'm very happy. I found my best friend. We are in love. Like,
Rachel said this. Post the show filming.
Yes, like in her, yeah, like she's gone on like Jimmy Kimmel and stuff and been like, oh, I'm in love. I'm engaged. Like,
how often
I
does
found
that
my
happen
person.
On The Bachelor?
So,
because like they someone wins every season, but I can't imagine they stay together.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to jump in here because I have got to ask the dumbest dumb guy question ever. This is obviously a farce. Do people actually get married because of the show, like really married?
So I'm looking up the exact stats, but so there have been like 21 or 22 seasons of The Bachelor, and this is the 13th season of The Bachelorette, and there have been 3 seasons of Paradise. The 4th season was halted and will resume filming, which we can talk about. But so of the Bachelor and Bachelorette, there are 6 couples that are still married.
Wait, but so people did, but how many people actually did get married?
6. Well, so there's 6 that are still
together. That seems like a pretty high ratio.
So at the end of the season, you like ask the winning person to marry you. So there's like an engagement, right?
Yes. So on The Bachelor, he proposes. On The Bachelorette, you get proposed to. And the other guy, sometimes he starts proposing and you have to like stop him. And be like, oh, no, this is not going the way you want. But so it does end with
that's so cruel.
Yeah, it's really, there's been ones that's like, oh, no, this is really bad.
It's like the Simpsons episode where they film Ralph giving the card to Lisa, and it's like you can see the exact frame where his heart breaks.
and it's like, you choose me.
And it's like these guys, like I imagine proposing to anyone and under any circumstances is nerve wracking and you have to build yourself up and like talk yourself into it. And then to have her be like, oh no, I like Jeff. Like I want Jeff. But so they propose at the end of the show. Almost every season has ended with a proposal. There's a couple notable ones that didn't, that they were like, we're just going to keep dating. And then there was one where the guy proposed. I forget which season it is. The Bachelor proposed, said, I changed my mind, took it back, and then proposed to the other person.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
That was like way before I ever started watching or recapping. Wow. So basically you propose, you're given a ring by Neil Lane, and that's like a jeweler. He's like a famous jeweler, and that's a big part of that final episode. Like picking, you get like a selection of rings, and you have to be like, this one says Rachel. Like you have to pick which one she would like.
Like you're picking a new Dalai Lama.
Yeah. and then after that, you have to stay together for 9 months to keep the ring. You have to stay engaged 9 months to keep the ring.
What a weird... weird. I mean, what a weird arbitrary amount of time.
So a lot of these couples, like, because it's like these are like hundreds of $1,000 rings. Like, they are insane.
And but what, like, you board could, of people can't set, like, ABC producers are like, okay, what's an acceptable amount of time?
You have to stay together for 9 months, then you can keep the ring. They're having.
How do they, like, enforce that?
Yeah.
You have to, like, they make public appearances.
Oh,
like,
Jesus
Christ.
So you're, it's not just that you stay together, it's that you're on some sort of, talent contract with ABC Disney, and you do their press junket, and
yeah,
you're sort
you do
of
this,
working
you
with
do
them.
The like the morning show the day after, and you go on Kimmel or whatever. There have been, so like recently there was a couple, Ben, who was the Bachelor 2 seasons ago, he got a show on ABC Freeform, or like,
what is that?
It's ABC Family. It's another channel the ABC universe.
You're teaching us so much.
And they got a show like our first year of being engaged. So it started with like her moving to Colorado. The woman, her name's Lauren, like her moving to Colorado to move in with him. Them setting up their house. ABC offered them like to get married on camera, which is like a thing that they do now. If you get engaged from like a Bachelor show, you can get married like as part of another show. So they offered them, hey, we'd like to produce an hour-long special of your wedding. And
they really use every part of the Buffalo here.
Yeah, they really do. And so they said, we'll give you an hour-long special on ABC. You'll get married. We'll pay for a lot of it. And, you know, we have all these vendors that you can use. And they agreed at first. And then, like, they didn't want to. So it was, they had a reality show of, like, these people. And it just recently came out that couple has now split up. Like, they didn't get married.
On all of the one-on-one dates, I've noticed, like, one of the exquisitely weird things that happens is that there's, like, always some sort of out-in-public components. Like, the one where they had to ride horses through
LA. Yeah, down Beverly.
Who was that? Was that
Rodeo Drive? That was Anthony.
Anthony, that's right. And my least favorite of the one-on-one dates so far.
There's a few, like, early one-on-one dates where it's like, this is just a nice guy. We got to have him do something. Yeah. And then he goes home shortly after.
Yeah, he just had no personality.
Yeah.
There was the one where they were, I guess the one where they were at the pool party for dogs.
Yep.
And then there was the other one where they ended like the blimp, but then it ended at the concert and they were up on stage dancing or whatever. Mm. And I've been sort of thinking, like, it's so weird that all of these dates, they're like, it's not sufficient that they're on camera.
Right.
Which they're always on camera, but it's that they also have to perform the date for like some sort of contrived audience that they put together.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Look, we stumbled into this concert that was just for us or whatever. But I wonder if part of it is that Rachel knows that post doing The Bachelorette, she's going to have to do a year of press junket or whatever. And in some ways, she's like casting her partner.
Oh,
like,
that's good.
You know, who's going to be my like co-star in the Rachel reality empire that comes in the year
after
this?
I don't know. Just my feelings about her. She seems like a pretty she's like, I've already gone back to work. Like, there are people that do The Bachelor and then launch their, like, fitness empire. Like, there's one couple where she was, like, a dancer and he was, like, a personal trainer. And they have a company that goes to, like, parks and does huge fitness classes. And they've, like, made this company. There's people they get all, like, the joke is that they're all sponsored by Sugar Bear Hair Gummies. And they're these gummies that have vitamins to make your hair grow. What? So, like, all the women who go on the show get sponsored by this company. So you don't have to work. I think she's someone that, like, I think she wants to do her job. Like, she's an attorney. She really loves it. Like, she wants
to
go.
I was so sad about Diggy going home without.
You love Diggy.
I really do, but he was such a good fit for her because he was smart. And he had, they could talk to her about the law. And, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He could sort of keep up with her. And, like, I just don't understand, like, what did he do wrong? I'm so sad.
Oh, my God.
Where did Diggy
go? This is the season where I'm truly like, oh, I really like this person. So, Alex and Merlin, who are some favorites that you guys, like, favorites? Like, guys that you're either like, oh, they're cute, or I think they would be a good match. Is there anyone that you're like, ooh, I really like this person?
You go first.
I'm all in on Peter.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Peter, who's that? They're all indistinguishable.
With
to
the
me,
gap
I'm sorry.
Tooth. Yep, he has a gap tooth.
That's the only reason
and
I know.
He's like salt and pepper.
What are his traits?
He is.
He has no. I mean, I know who
dogs.
You're talking about, but.
Yes, he loves her dog.
No, he liked Rachel's dog on camera.
So?
She's
also the first bachelorette to bring her dog.
Oh, what a dog.
And it's like. How has no, because they all have dogs, like mm-hmm. they all these men and women are like I love my dog, like how have none of them like brought
I
their
love
dogs
my fur
with
baby
them? yeah it's like I'm a mama and my baby's my dog
my
and
baby.
It's like how have no, and that's like a pretty accurate description of like every other woman that's ever the bachelorette or on the bachelor, but it's like how has no one else brought their dog? That's fucking genius. Like, Rachel's a genius.
She is so... It, like, hurts how smart she is. It's brilliant.
She's like, I'm gonna bring my dog. but it's funny. Peter reminds me... So, Rachel reminds me of my cousin, and Peter reminds me of my cousin's husband. So, I'm like, this makes sense. In my brain, I'm like, this makes sense to me, because I've seen this already work.
He feels like... He would definitely be, to take a term... we like the beta of that relationship. He's just gonna go along, but he's like, all right, I'll watch the dog, you go to work, honey.
Right. Yeah, I think with some of these people, like, they're truly just looking for like, yeah, who looks good on my arm or whatever. But it seems like with Rachel, it's gonna be like, oh, someone who's like actually smart and interesting. And I forget what he does, but he has a real job. Like, he does a thing. He's not like aspiring drummer or occupation Waboom or whatever. Mm. Merlin, who is some of your favorites? Who stood out to you?
Oh, I don't know.
but is it just like none of them were like appealing at all to you? Like even on just like, oh, they have chemistry or he's hot or whatever.
Who did you think was hottest, Merlin?
Thing is, I don't see race. Yeah. I'm looking at this page, and first of all, tons of spoilers on this page with all their faces. They really, I'm scrolling, and it's like that guy with the purple hat is hypnotizing me with his rings. All of these people look exactly the same to me. I think one guy had a brother who was heavy. There's a lawyer. Diggy. I did like. Did Diggy have a pink bow tie?
Yes.
Oh, I like Diggy. Why did Diggy go? I liked him.
We don't know. We don't know.
I think he was too normal.
Yeah, Diggy lives in Chicago. And like,
well, can I be the turd in the punch bowl here? The guy with the speaking Spanish and then Mackin on her and the big Frenching. Like, why did she pick him?
Because
she was
why
wet.
Would
she was yeah. wet.
you mean wet in her basement?
Yeah, yeah.
Her basement was flooded. Yeah.
No, I mean, her pussy.
Don't they ask the bibliotheque?
that would be she her vagina said, and vulva bits.
She said specifically that she likes really confident guys who just sort of like are
I think
very
the exact quote,
Max,
was I loved how you just took control of the conversation is one thing she loved.
But she does. She likes that. That's a valid thing to like. And he was very forward,
and
right?
And there's
he
a
got,
lot of
he maneuvered her.
And there's a lot of like very powerful women like in their professional life that in their personal life they're kind of just like take care of me.
But in the same for men. All these Wolf of Wall Street bankers, they love to get their balls smashed by prostitutes on Madison Avenue. That's a huge thing.
Right.
Huge.
And so like for me,
like that's that document. What was the documentary?
Tickled
the Enron, the guy who did Enron smartest.
Smartest guy in the ball sack.
His Wall Street one.
Oh shit.
That one.
Yeah,
there was a whole
that one,
interviews.
Right.
There was interviews with very high powered like prostitutes on Madison Avenue, and they're like, all these executives come in after like you know ruining trading people's debt back and forth and ruining the U.S. economy, and they just want their balls to be smashed. They just want me. They're like they all want to be like abused and like pissed on,
mm-hmm.
and it's like they have so much power, and they know that in their heart that they don't deserve it. That then they're like fetish. Is
right.
that it comes out that they want to be
think,
like dominated?
Like for women, like in a on a personal level, and I can say because I relate to that of like, oh, I'm making decisions all day at my job. I'm making like a lot of very important decisions. I want to go home and someone to take care of it and like make the decisions. And like that's a sign of like, oh, this guy is not like he's not on his heels about everything, asking my permission, asking like. Is this okay? Like, whatever, you know, but in just like he will take care of me, take care of things. Like, I will feel good. And, like, there's guys, she also is very, like, there's been some bachelorettes where they're like, oh, no, I need to feel this attraction. Like, I need to feel like I am, like, horny for this guy, which is what happened with Caitlin when she slept with Nick before it was approved. Like, she was just like, oh, we've had a couple drinks. I'm having a lot of fun. I want to go home and can keep having fun. And Rachel
is like a normal human.
Like a normal human. And there's been dates where, like, Rachel's, like, hugged a guy, and then you can tell she goes in for the kiss. Like, she's not waiting for these guys to kiss her. Like, if she's feeling it, she's going to kiss. And she's kissed, like, on the first night, or not the first, maybe the second episode, she'd kissed way more guys. Like, it's you. Sometimes it is, like, a big, like, buildup. But she's like, I'm making out with whoever I want to make out with. She's always asking them to take off their shirts. And, like, all the dates have been, like, very objectifying in a way that, like, I find very satisfying. Because there is, like, a big imbalance of, like, the bachelor dates will be like, you're going to do a mommy relay race. And so in this season, it's like, oh, no, you're going to do a daddy relay race. And at the end of that relay race, you're going to mud wrestle. Like, I want to see them butts.
Questions about mouth sounds.
Yep.
just they really like getting in there and
hearing
hearing those slurps and slaps.
Oh, so you think they got a shotgun or a loft?
They're using a supercartoid.
Oh, God. But how do they screen for face herpes? Like, what happens if a guy gets a cold sore?
They don't. Ooh, they don't. Question. Well, yeah. I also know in the fantasy suites, they do not provide you with condoms.
What?
Why?
There's no condoms in the fantasy suite.
Also, how do you know? Like, is it what?
Like people who have been on the show.
In the fantasy suite.
That's the follow up to No Sex in the Champagne Room. The Chris Rock single.
You get all the alcohol. They should have a suite of sex toys and like.
You either have to bring it yourself or like prep yourself beforehand. I don't know what kind of health screenings or whatever, but
that it's like, oh, if we give them condoms, we're like encouraging them to have sex.
Yeah, that's probably something like that. And there's probably some
that's
weird
worked out.
Yeah, that, yeah, statistically that works. Yeah.
And there's probably also some weird logic or law of like you can't.
I believe
like,
in the abstinence only fantasy suite.
If you like, if you're like putting someone on camera and you give them a condom, like it's technically. And I mean, a lot of like they're. Headquarters are probably based in California. Like, I'm sure there's some weird California, like, we've dealt with porn shoots law that you can't, you know.
Oh, interesting.
I wonder, I don't know. This is purely speculation, but I wonder if there's some weird thing of, like, having condoms on set makes it a this versus a this. They're not given condoms in the fantasy suite. So you have to bring them or just, like,
because they
get
can't
an IUD.
They can't like go to Walgreens,
right? They never had that, but, which I would love if they were in the aisle. Like, well, I like the Trojan X.
I heard if you douche with Dr. Pepper, you don't get pregnant. I don't know if that's true.
Today's group date is going to get the morning after pill at the CVS.
They're going there on horseback. Yeah. Hey, Allie, if people like what you had to say and they want to find you on the internet, where would you like people to find you?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at WTFlanksteak and read my recaps on vulture.com. Right now I'm doing Claws and The Bachelor.
I want to see Claws.
And it's very fun. And I will be doing Boy Band, ABC's Boy Band reality show. I will also be recapping. Should be recapping the next season of Empire and How to Get Away with Murder.
And you can find Allie's best writing in all of new Cards Against Humanity product that's out on the market.
And I also recap Real Housewives of Atlanta. So be on the lookout for all of those.
Excellent.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us. This was fun.
Yes, thanks for having me.